the greater love of a friend. By way of preamble, by way of introduction, let us begin from 1 Corinthians 12. It's by way of introduction. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 12, verses 18 to 20. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? Can you see that? If all of us were a single member, where would the body be? For an example, if all were an eye, where would the body be? Because that would be a big eye body. The whole body would just be an eye. So this is what he's talking about. If all were a single member, where would the body be? That means none of us is the body of Christ alone. You are not the body of Christ alone. You are a part, you are a member, right? It's not one part or one member of the body that makes the whole body. No, no, no. A member or a part of the body is but a single unit, a single part of the body. But the body is made up of all of its members, made up of all of its parts. In the Christendom, no one is an island. No, we have no loners in the kingdom of God. Come on, tell your neighbor, we have no loners in the kingdom of God. No, they don't exist. In the body of Christ, we exist. In relationships, we exist in friendships, we exist in partnerships. In the kingdom of God, no one is a loner, no one is an island, right? We exist in relationships, we exist in friendships, we exist in partnerships. The biblical theological terminology is fellowship. Fellowship. Go to the Bible, go to the New Testament, fellowship. We have fellowship with God, but we also have fellowship with one another. And together, all of us, we have fellowship with God. That's what the elder, the apostle, that distinguished apostle of God, John, was trying to tell us about fellowship. We have fellowship with God, but not only that, but we also have fellowship with one another. And also together, we have fellowship with God, with the God head. Without divine fellowship, friends, in the body of Christ, you are a nobody. You are nothing. Without fellowship, without divine fellowship, divine connections, please, divine, God chosen, God led, God inspired. There are no loners in this kingdom, no loners in this kingdom. Without divine fellowship, partnerships, relationships, friendships, you are nothing. I am nothing. We are nobodies. You will not achieve anything in this kingdom. This kingdom is based on relationships. It's built on partnerships. It's a kingdom that exists on fellowship. We are individually members of the body of Christ. We are not complete alone. We individually are members of the body of Christ. We are not complete alone. You are not complete. I am not complete alone. None of us is complete by himself or by herself. None of us can stand without the assistance, without the help of other believers. You cannot stand. Understand that. God has devised the body of Christ as he chose. This is what we read. It says, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. As God chose. Friends, alone, we are extremely inadequate. Alone, we are extremely inadequate. We are extremely ineffective. We will not be able to achieve much in the body of Christ as a church if we don't stand together, if we don't agree together, if we don't do things in unity, if there is no synergy, there's no synergy that exists among ourselves, we will remain extremely unfruitful. unfruitful. We have to be one-minded. We have to have the same mind to say, okay, fine. What does God want of us? And when we decipher what God wants of us, then we focus on that which God wants of us. We put our hands together. We put our hands to the plow. But that is when we work jointly, corporately together. Together we can achieve much more than each one of us individually can do. Together we can achieve much more. And that is the will of the Father, that together we should achieve much, much more. Because alone we are extremely inadequate, extremely ineffective. The body requires each of its members equally to be complete. The body requires each. That nail on your little toe, your body requires that nail equally, like the rest of the members of your body, like the rest of the parts of your body. That little one hair follicle in your ear, it's got a purpose there. Someone has put it there. There's a reason for it to be there. This is why he tells you that each of your hairs are numbered, each one of your hairs. God knows each, they are numbered. Number, that means there is number 18, there's number 4, there's number 2. God knows who's number 2, who's number 18, who's number 12. He knows they are numbered. They are numbered. As it is with your body, your physical body, so it is with the body of Christ. We together are a body. The body of Christ has got ears. The body of Christ has got eyes, has got nose, has got mouth, has got hands, has got feet, shoulders, knees, right? The body of Christ. The body of Christ. That means some of us are hands, while others are ears, while others are the knees, while others are the legs, while others are the feet. See that? That's why in your body, your members do not quarrel. They don't fight. They don't bicker. Have you realized that? That's how it should be in the body of Christ. The ear does not fight the eye. The eye does not fight the mouth. The mouth does not fight the nose. The nose does not fight the big toe. Because each one of them, they know that they've been placed there, arranged there divinely, strategically, specifically by God. And they know the role, the function that they play. You say you are a body of Christ, you are a member of the body of Christ, you belong to a local assembly, you belong to church. What has God placed you there for? What's your role? What is your function? The hand knows its role and its function. The hand will never fight the foot. The foot knows its role and its function. The foot will never fight the hand. Now, we are talking about the body. This is in context of the body. So you, as a member, as a part of the body of Christ, what is your role? What is your function? And if you know that, are you delivering? Are you fruitful? Are you effective? Or you just say, I'm a member of the body of Christ. I don't even understand what you're saying. Member, a part, got a role and a function. You didn't place yourself there. You were born with those ears. Some of your ears, you feel like they're a bit lower on your head. You would have loved them to be in the middle or higher. But you see, you didn't place them there. You didn't place them there. Whether you like their placement or not, it makes no difference. See, the one who placed them there, it pleased him. It was to please him, not to please us. I'm repeating again, this is important. The body requires each of its members equally. Equally. The people that you look down upon in church, the people, the Christians that are, they are not much to you. You see, the body requires each of its members equally. Equally. What does it tell you? Each and every Christian, believer, a member of the body of Christ is important. We are equally important. We all have got our roles and functions that we play. And each role and each function, it contributes to the wellness, to the welfare, to the progress, to the success of the entire body. Entire body. Why is the church not growing? Because you forgot that you are a member. Why is the church not growing? Because you forgot your role and your function, your role and your responsibility. Now your laziness is affecting the entire body. It's because of your laziness. You are lazy. Now you are pulling the whole body down. You're pulling the whole body down. God is not blessing the body as he ought because of your ineffectiveness. Remember, the body needs, requires each of its members equally. Equally. In the kingdom of God, each one needs one. Please tell your neighbor, in the kingdom of God, each one needs one. Even your proud pastor needs you. Your proud prophet needs you. He can be proud, she can be proud, but she needs you. Without you, she's nothing. You know, there are some so-called ministers of God who are so proud. They look down on people as if they don't need the people, but they're forgetting that without the people, they are nothing. A pastor without the flock, a pastor with a shepherd without the sheep is nothing. Who are you shepherding? How can you have a shepherd without the sheep? In the kingdom, each one needs one. Hallelujah. In the body of Christ, each one completes another. Isn't that beautiful? I am incomplete without you. You are incomplete without me. We are incomplete without one another. We are complete with one another. In the body of Christ, each one completes another. My goodness, we are still dealing with introduction. I don't think I'm going to finish. Are we together, church? There is not a single one of us who is complete by themselves apart from the rest of the body. Understand that. You will never be complete by yourself apart from the rest of us. That's why you should love us. I say, that's why you should love us. Love us as you love yourself. That's the whole point. None of us can do much without the rest of us. But now, here's the thing. The devil is doing a sterling work to divide Christians. Because Satan knows the effectiveness of Christians together. He knows it. When we Christians stand together, let me give you this for free. This whole world would shake. The true Christians of God, the real believers in Christ, the true, authentic people of God, if only they could stand together, agree as one man, agree as one body, this world would shake. We could bring the entire world to its knees. The devil knows that. That's why he does not want the unity of Christians. We are weaker, divided. Weaker. And Satan divide us through offense, through bickering, through strife, through pride, through sectarianism, through partisanship, through denominationalism. Right? I am a Catholic, I'm an Anglican, I'm an Episcopalian, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist. See? Denominationalism. Different sectors or sects of faith that we see these days. This is but the sterling work that the devil is doing to divide the body. To divide the body. He's afraid of the unity. May you catch a wake-up call today that you would work for nothing but for the unity of the body of Christ. Unity of the body of Christ. And stop fighting among ourselves. And stop hurting one another. And stop taking advantage of each other. Taking advantage of the weak ones. The stronger ones taking advantage of the weak ones. Those in authority. Those in power. Those in position of leadership. taking advantage of those that are below them. No, friends, this is but the continuation of the dividing, of the tearing of the body of Christ asunder. Now let's get to the greater love of a friend. John 15 and 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Can you see there? Friendship is based on love. True friendship is not based on wrong influences. It's not based on us doing wrong things together, agreeing on wrong things together. No, no, no. We, as they say, as thick as thieves. Right? What brings us together, the commonality, is not something destructive, something wrong, but true love is, true friendship is based on love. A friend is one who sacrifices themselves for you. A friend, greater love has no man than this, than that a man laid down his life for his friends. A friend is one who sacrifices. Come on, this was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a true friend. If you say you have a friend, you've got somebody who sacrifices themselves for you. A friend is sacrificial. A friend is not selfish. A true friend is not selfish. A true friend is not self-absorbed. Why are we talking about friendship? Because the kingdom of God is built on relationships, on partnerships, on friendships. We are the body of Christ. We are different members, different parts of the body. So we require fellowship. It is when we are together that we are able to serve God as God wants us to serve Him. It is when we are together that we are able to disciple nations. We are able to disciple the world. But you see, who is your friend? Who stands by you? Your associates. What is this association based on? Your associates. Or maybe your association is based on the fact that we are both cheating on your partners. So you give each other support. See? What is association based on? A friend is not selfish. A friend is not self-absorbed. A true friend puts themselves, in harm's way for you. A true friend puts themselves in harm's way to help you, to save you, to help you. A true friend. There is nothing that a true friend cannot possibly do within their capacity, within their potential. Not for themselves, but for you. Then you have a true friend. Greater love has no man than this, than that a man should lay down his own life for the sake of his friends. Friends, please, plural, friends. Greater love is no one than this. A friend, a true friend loves, a true friend cares, a true friend protects you. You are safer with a true friend than alone. When you have a true friend in your life, you are safer. You are in a better off position than if you were alone. We Christians are well acquainted with trials and with tribulations. So for us, friendship is very critical. We need one another. We need one another. We need one another as Christians, as believers, to fulfill our calling, our assignment, our destiny, our purpose. We need one another. I have a calling. I need divine associations. I have an assignment from God. I need divine associations. I have a purpose from God to fulfill. I need divine associations. There is a destiny. I'm running a race of faith. Everyone who is running the race of faith, you need people. They are destiny helpers. You may not be able to do it on your own. Destiny helpers. Destiny partners. We need one another. I say we need one another. If we are to finish this race of faith, I'm talking about if we are to finish it strong, we might as well choose our friends very wisely and very carefully. Otherwise, we may not even make it because of the associations. We may not make it because of the people we keep around us. We may not make it. 1 Peter 4 and 8. Now it says, and above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. Among all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Love, have fervent love. Fervent means true, means sincere, not phony, not pretentious. We need to be able to know this. Fervent, sincere love, sincere. There is love that is phony. There is love that is pretentious. And some of us have since suffered harm because of phony people, pretentious people who pretended to love us and we could not even discern. Today we have suffered serious harm. But the Bible says, above all this, above all things, have fervent, sincere love. Now listen to what it says. For love shall cover the multitude of sins. For love shall cover a multitude of sins. There is no friend who exposes you. A true friend covers, because love covers. There is no true friend who exposes. A friend is one who knows your deepest secrets and yet still see you as you. They see you for you. They don't see you because of the problem, because of your limitation, because of your weakness, because of your mistakes. No, true love covers. True love harvests, it covers. Right? That if you have a true friend, people can really believe that you don't even have a stain on you. But you are full of stains, but because of the friend who covers you, people only see cleanness. They only see cleanness. There may be a lot of things that you disagree with your partner about. There may be a lot of things that you disagree with your wife about, you disagree with your husband about. But these are not things that you share with anyone. Why? Because your husband is your best friend, because your wife is your best friend, and you are the cover. We are the one that covers them. You cover. You cover their ugly side. Their ugly side, you cover it. The things that people should not see, you cover them. The thing that people should not know, people should not know, see about them, you are the love that covers. That's why you don't go around gossiping about your friend. You don't go around gossiping about those you love. You don't go around gossiping about your spouse. If you do that, you are not a true friend. You are a destroyer. I say, if you do that, you are not a true friend. If I told you something about me, I don't need to hear it from somebody else, because I didn't tell them I told you. So how did they know? Because I didn't tell them. These are people you ought to ditch very quickly. Ditch that person. It's not a friend. It's not a friend. That one is a chameleon. He's not a friend. That one is not true. That one is a charlatan. I didn't tell another. I told you. So you've just proven that you're not worthy to be my friend. You're not worthy to be around me. I don't need you. I don't need to keep company with you, because you are poisonous and you are dangerous to me. And people will help me, not people will not detract us. I need helpers, not detractors. I need helpers. Hallelujah. We are saying that a friend knows your deepest secrets, and the friend, they still don't change color. They don't change for you or against you. Now, your secrets could be your mistakes. Your secret could be your weaknesses, your infirmities. Your secrets could be your character flaws. Your secrets could be your moral indiscretions. We all have these things. We've got our own mistakes, our shortcomings. We've got our own character flaws. All of us have got these things. We've got our own moral indiscretions. Sometimes we fail morally. Sometimes we fail morally because we are not perfect. We don't need a friend who will agree with us in our weaknesses.
We don't need a friend who's going to agree with us when we fall. We need a friend who will be truthful and yet not leave us, and yet not tell others about us, expose our secrets, expose our private lives to others. That's the friend you need to grow in Christ, to grow as a Christian, to grow closer to God. You need a protector, not a detractor. I say you need a protector. You need a pastor who protects you, not a pastor who gossips about you, not a pastor who goes and tells other members of the church about you. That pastor is not protecting you. That pastor is exposing you. He doesn't love you. Your prophet, your bishop does not love you when they do that. They don't love you when they do that because you are telling them things confidentially. They have no right, they have no power to share with another things you told them confidentially. They have no right, no power. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. So as a friend, the things that you know about me, you have no right to go and broadcast them. You've got no right to go and transmit them to another. You have no right, it's my stuff. No matter how ugly, no matter how hideous is my stuff, no matter how nasty is my stuff, you need my permission to do that. If I didn't give you permission, don't go do it, because if you do, then you're my enemy, you're not my friend. You're my foe. Now, some of us are keeping foes we think they are friends. I say some of us are keeping foes. We are keeping snakes. The people who are calling friends, a lot of us are snakes. They are busy biting at us. They are biting at us. Now we're getting poisoned more and more. We notice we are trying to take off, but we are not able to take off. This issue is a spiritual issue. You cannot keep company with wrong people and you fly. You cannot keep company with techies and you fly with eagles. You can't fly as an eagle or with eagles when you're keeping company with techies. We are keeping foes in the name of friendship that will destroy you. I say you are keeping foes in the name of friendship that will kill you. That will kill you. The person you are married to, if he's not your friend, is your foe. And you notice you won't go much in life because of the person that you're married to. So please make sure that you're married to your friend. I say make sure you're married to your friend. A friend is someone who knows things about you and yet they still see you for you. They don't define you by these things and they don't judge you because of these things. A friend who does not define you by things. A friend who does not judge you at all because of things. Hallelujah. A friend knows your worst and still loves you the best. Do you have a friend like that? A friend who knows your worst, but they still love you the best. Now, that's a destiny partner. That's a destiny helper. That's somebody who's going to take you far in life. Going to go far with that kind of a person. A friend will never use anything against you because a friend is not selfish. A friend is not there for their own agenda. They will not use anything against you. Tell me, if there is somebody who uses something against you, who uses something against you because of what they know about you, then that person is not your friend. That person is manipulating and blackmailing. A person manipulating you and blackmailing you is not a friend. If you leave a church, they begin when you left. They show your deliverance tapes. They never loved you in the first place. If you leave a church, now that you left the church, in your absentia, they begin to show deliverances, your old past deliverances. They never loved you. See, this is manipulation and blackmail. Not every church has got love resident within. I say, not every church has got love resident within. And who is love? God is love. Jesus is love. Holy Spirit is love. Now it tells you, not a lot of churches, Holy Spirit, that's his former address. A lot of things that, a lot of buildings, a lot of institutions that we call churches today, those are former residents, former residences of God. He used to reside. When you leave church, suddenly they show you, this tape is 10 years old. Why are you showing it now when I'm leaving? When I was there, you never showed it. Now you are trying to manipulate and lie to the members of the church that I'm a dangerous person. So, but if I'm still dangerous after you delivered me, that means your deliverance is useless. If I'm still dangerous after you delivered me 10 years ago, that means your deliverance is a sham. It's a sham. It's useless. Useless. What does it tell you? There are churches that you will never accomplish your destiny with them. I say there are churches that you will never accomplish your destiny. Never. Forget it. You can be there. You can be loyal. You can be there for the next 40 years, for the next 60 years. But arriving at your destiny, you will never. Why? Because they don't have your best interest at heart. They are not there to promote you. They are not there to advance you. They are about advancing themselves, promoting themselves at your expense. You are only good to them as long as they can milk you. The moment you are dry, they kick you out. You are just as good, and you are dry because they milked you out. They've taken all the substance. Friend, as we are saying, a friend will never use anything against you. A friend will never remind you of your past to say, you remember in the past you used to be like this, you used to be like that. Right? They don't use that to define you in the presence. I say they don't use that to define you in the presence. A friend is sacrificial. A friend is your best interest at heart. A friend puts themselves in harm's way for you. A friend is always other conscious and not always me conscious. Other conscious. You can tell if somebody is a true friend or not by what they say about other people when they are with you. You can tell whether a person is a good friend or not. You can tell whether a person is a good person or not. It's what they say about others when they are with you. Because what they say about others when they are with you, that's exactly what they do about you when they're with others and they're not with you. They do the same thing. A fountain cannot issue out sweet and sour water at the same time. You can't be a good friend with me when you're with others, you are a bad person. Or a bad person when you are with others and you're a good person with me. No, a bad person is a bad person all round. A sweet person is a sweet person all round. Hallelujah. Let us notice something here, that there are people in life who come to take from you. They come to you because of what's in it for them. They come to you for what they can get from you. These people are selfish. They don't have your best interest at heart. These are vultures. They come to take. Please, let's notice. Now, these are people that we are keeping at the expense of our destiny. We keep at the expense of our growth in our relationship with God. These are vultures. They come to take from you. They come for what is in need for them. Hallelujah. These are selfish. They are wolves. They are charlatans. Some of us, we have friends, but what we have are not friends. These are wolves and charlatans. These are vultures who just come to feed off of us. They come to do what? To feed off of us. We cannot and we should not consider these as friends. Listen, they come to you with a smile. They lie and they pretend. I'm a pastor. I know these people very well. Oh, man of God, with a smile. And they lie. We are the greatest thing since Apollo 11. They flutter the socks out of you. They flutter the socks out of you. This is the best church I've ever been in my whole life. I've been a Christian now for 700 years. I've never been to a church like this. They flutter the socks out of you, but all they do is lie, pretend, and flutter. These are vultures. These are wolves. These are charlatans. As a pastor, you will never go far with these ones. That's why if you're a true servant of God, a true child of God, they will fall on the wayside on their own. They won't last long. No. Why? They didn't come in sincerity. They didn't come in truth. They come to feed off of you. There is something they saw in you that they needed. So they've come not for you, they've come for it. I say they've come not for you. They have come for it. And this type, this ilk, this kind, once they are done with you, once they get what they want from you, they will drop you. You can rest assured they will drop you like a hot potato. They'll drop you all like a hot potato. As soon as they get what they want from you, they will leave you high and dry. They come to you with an ulterior motive. They come to you with a hidden agenda. Ulterior motive. Not everyone who takes church membership has got sincere motive. No, people have got ulterior motives. They've got hidden agendas. But these are people that we need to be careful of, because we will not be able to move much, we'll not be able to advance much in our walk with God, in our race of faith with such people, if we advance or we move at all. True friends, they add to you. True friends, they impart to you. True friends, they give to you. True friends, they leave you better than they found you. They are there. True friends are there to minister to you. Listen, destiny connectors, destiny partners, destiny helpers, these are the people that minister to you. They come to minister. In whatever way that God has permitted them, in whatever way that God has brought them to minister to you. But here's the thing, they will minister to you and you will know yourself that I'm better. I don't know where I would be without this person. I don't know what I would do without this person. You will know it yourself. They have a God assignment to your life. Now these are the friends that Holy Spirit wants us to spend our time with, not wasters. Not wasters, people you spend the majority of your time fighting, arguing. Spend about the majority of your time arguing about politics, arguing about ideologies, idiosyncrasies, and all of these things. See, the Bible says, with books, with learning in life, there is no end. Why should we argue about these things? That means whatever we know, we don't know as we ought to know. Because the Bible says there's no end. What's the point? What's the point? True friend multiplies you. A true friend does not divide you. I say true friend. There are friends that when we have them, they found with substance. When they leave you, you have nothing. They found you with money. When they leave you, that little money is gone. They found you even with one car, but when they leave, you have to fix that car. They divide you. They don't multiply you. Listen to me. There is a mutual benefit in friends. There's a mutual benefit. That's true. That's good friendship. That's true friendship. There is a mutual benefit. There's a mutual benefit. There's none of us between us sponging off of another. Sponging off from another. No, 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 no. Mutual benefit. Mutual benefit. The Bible even says that those who water others will themselves be watered.
Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. That's what the Bible says. We must not tolerate vultures. I say we must not tolerate vultures. We must not keep them for long. We mustn't allow them to linger on in our lives. No. No. Listen. Life is too short. The Bible says redeem the time. That means do the most that you can with the little time that you have. That's the meaning of redeem the time. Do the most. Don't allow wasting. Don't allow distraction. Do the most that you can with the little time that you have. Do the most. Do the most with the little time that you have to serve God. Do the most that you have with the little time that you have to serve, to serve, to serve, to serve God. Maximize your moment. Maximize your opportunity. Maximize your potential. Redeem the time. That's what it is all about. Is anybody listening to me? Proverbs 20:6, the NIV and the TPT.